invoke the power of the Glacial Blade. Finishing strike. Icicle Disaster.
Hey, it's the Icicle Disaster JRPG podcast, and I'm your host, Zach Brixen. So what happened? Well, I got a new job, and it's pretty much taken my entire soul away. But yeah, apologies for the long hiatus. We're rebooting the show for maybe the fifth time, and that's completely okay. No worries. Basically, E3 has come around, and that's the one time a year I feel alive. And so I figured, hey, I feel a little motivated again. And so here we go, guys. E3 2018, the JRPG announcements. Let's just start the show with that. And then we'll talk about where the show's at and what games are being played this month. Microsoft had the first conference on that Sunday, and they probably had the best conference this E3. Not because they convinced me that I should get Xbox One as a platform, but because they kind of hogged all the world premiere trailers and played them back to back in a lot of cases, instead of having people constantly on stage and talking awkwardly, which, I mean, I've been watching these every year, and Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, none of them have gotten any better at speaking publicly or hiring people who can. They always talk with that really strange cadence where, with, you know, the dramatic pauses, just is an awful PR speak. It's just really bizarre to me. I don't know. And then when they do try to hire like professional PR people, for some reason, these people are even worse, and it just becomes like this cringe fest. And I guess maybe they take pride in that aspect now. It's like become a competition. That's why Microsoft had the best conference this year, is the least nonsense present and the most trailers. And a lot of the games they announced, they also announced them with tangible release dates. You know, they're right around the bend. And that's a lot better than, hey, here's this project we're working on, and it might be 2022 by the time you see it again. Looking at you, Sony. But what JRPGs did Microsoft give us? Well, let's see. For Microsoft, we actually had, well, I guess Kingdom Hearts 3 was the biggest this year at E3. Although I'm not a Kingdom Hearts guy, so I'm not sure why everyone was losing their mind. Apparently the character Aqua's, she's gone to the dark side. That's a big deal. And Nomura, the director, he made a remark saying, I hope everyone will be okay when Kingdom Hearts 3 releases. So I guess maybe he's alluding to some big tragedy or, you know, more terrible things to come in the story. So if you're a big Kingdom Hearts fan, just be safe, please. But they've showcased the Frozen and the Pirates of the Caribbean world in the new trailer. It's still surreal to me that Disney is paired up with Square Enix. Like, who, like, that contract is still there. It's just weird seeing like these huge big brand characters like from Frozen and whatnot next to like spiky haired JRPG character. I'm just I can't believe that deal ever went down. Does that mean they get rights to Star Wars now? That'd be interesting. But yeah, the gameplay footage in the trailers looks nuts. The thematic gameplay elements, like you're in Toy Story world, you're on pirate ships, you've got ice skates in the Frozen world. It seems like they really try to make those experiences feel unique from each other. And there seems to be a lot more polish than FF15, you know? Maybe that's where all the development effort was focused on. Nomura did drop Final Fantasy 15 to work on Kingdom Hearts 3, and that's why Tabata took over that Final Fantasy 15 project. And it's funny that they released the Royal Edition, and it's still not a complete edition. But they are, I know they're cleaning up the game more and more and adding, you know, decent content to it. You know, even though the game does feel just like a jumble of assets to me, they are very nice assets, and it's got some fun elements. I'm not totally down on Final Fantasy 15. I'm just kind of, it does, you know, it's clearly just, it feels just like a project of multiple assets, really, that have been floating around for the past decade, and they kind of had to string it together with a very strange story and structure to that game. The Kingdom Hearts 3 looks a lot more polished, although in the trailers they showed, the audio felt a little off. Like, they showed some scenes of dialogue where there wasn't really any background noise or music, and I don't think the lines really matched up with the characters speaking. It was kind of weird, but otherwise, yeah, very pleased with all the Kingdom Hearts footage. But for me, the biggest JRPG announcement, I think, at the for E3 2018 period is Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition is announced. That game is coming back and it's coming for all platforms. So that's huge news for a guy like me who totally missed out on Tales of Vesperia when it was tucked away as an exclusive on the Xbox 360 when Microsoft was trying to, you know, gain a foothold in the market and in the Japanese market. But, you know, it's just it's a game that a lot of Tales fans have told me it's, you know, hands down the best in the series. So that's high praise. And after playing Berseria and enjoying that to an extent, I really want to try Vesperia. And finally, we get a chance to this year. It's coming out this winter for all platforms. That's Switch, PC, PS4, Xbox One. It's going to be, I mean, that's, and it's even including the Japanese extended edition content. I think they're going to localize that and include it in this definitive edition. Microsoft had another surprise. Nier Automata is coming to Xbox One, and it's pretty much right away, coming out June 26. That's great news for Xbox One owners. That's Nier Automata was my game of the year 2017, hands down, and it's incredible to see how well Yoko Taro and his team have done with that game. I think it's pushed 3 million copies thus far. And this goes to show, you know, you give your wacky creative developers a little bit more budget, and they can really make some special experiences. From Software also announced a new Miyazaki game that is the director who did Dark Souls, Bloodborne, Demon Souls. His new game is called Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. And it looked really cool, but later after the conference, it was confirmed that Sekiro will not be an RPG at all. It's going to be a straight action adventure. There's no character creation. There's no leveling up. It's going to be, I think he's trying to make a more tight action-oriented experience. But yeah, it doesn't look like it will be an RPG, guys. Nonetheless, I'm sure other fans of From's games are still going to look forward to that. And it's like one of three big samurai Sengoku, or what is the other Japanese era called that's often used? But yeah, it's like one of three feudal Japan games, big games that were announced at E3. So I guess we're going to get a large dose of that. Next up was Sony. No, it was actually Square Enix had a conference, believe it or not. Don't remember it, but they had one. It was very disappointing. Came Monday morning. They didn't have much for us. Of course, you know, it was just another Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer and just reminders of what we already know is coming. And no Final Fantasy VII remake footage. What? It's been, can you believe it's been, I think, 3 years since they first teased that game? And it wasn't even like a teaser. It was a teaser with gameplay footage, which tells people that, hey, this game is at least somewhat along the development process. And I'm sitting here, it's 2018, and this is like the biggest video game conference of the year. And I don't even know what Tifa looks like still. And that's like a major purchasing factor, you know? I don't know. I guess it's because Nomura is like their only golden guy right now, and he's so focused on Kingdom Hearts. But it's just, I don't know, it's just bizarre to me. I know they got other guys. They got a lot of the Final Fantasy VII team on that project. This is very concerning. I wonder if, you know, the footage we saw several years ago is even still reliable. You know, is that all scrapped? Is it going to look completely different again? I still don't know what the episodic structure is going to be like. Is it going to be three huge games? Is it going to be 10 episodes? I don't know. It's just really bizarre that it's almost like they're hiding this game, you know? And Square Enix, they've developed a bad habit of getting, it's like they get excited and then they announce something that as soon as they start working on it, or I don't know. Yeah, just a disappointing conference from Square. We had Sony next. They had an interesting format. They had musicians come up and play an entire set, or not a set, but they played a song on their instrument. And then they played a trailer for a game. It's kind of cool, kind of lame. Too. I don't know, it was a little corny. But what was really strange about it was after they showcased their, you know, their biggest game, The Last of Us 2, they just went to a talk panel for like a good 20 minutes with three guys that didn't talk about anything at all. And it was it just brought all the hype level down after seeing The Last of Us 2, which, I mean, if I could just talk about that game for a second, it looks nuts just technology-wise, but I think we're getting really into that uncanny valley territory it's just like, it was going for that realism, that violence, but you know, you're controlling this little girl and she's beating up these guys, like these thugs that are built like linebackers. And there's that one part where she takes like a full bodied swing from like a two-handed hammer from one guy. She just kind of brushes it off and then just proceeds to whoop his ass. I don't know. It's very strange to me. It's almost kind of, I can't take it seriously. And it's like it clearly wants to be taken very seriously. So I thought that was an interesting trailer, but not sure how I feel about it. But yeah, once the that weird talk panel went away, things went back to normal. Not sure what they were thinking with that, but yeah. The rest of the conference was pretty great. Not too many JRPG announcements. We got Neo 2, which came out of nowhere. That's a sequel to the Souls-like game from Team Ninja. And although I didn't think Neo was terribly great, in fact, I think it could drop all of its RPG elements and probably just be a really good action game. It looks like with Neo 2, they're going to take the RPG angle even further, and we're going to get full character creation, so players won't be using William from the original game. They'll make their own character, it looks like. And from the teaser, looks like we're going to have some yokai demon powers to play with as well. Nintendo was a lot of fun for us JRPG guys, even though 90% of their conference was dedicated to Smash Bros, which was that was the longest, most in-depth reveal for a game I've ever seen. And it was, it felt kind of out of place because it wasn't even like this new Smash was much different from the previous Smash. But they really went through the effort of showing the audience every single character of a roster of 50. Like, people just had to sit and watch this trailer going one by one through all these characters. It's like, yeah, this is Smash. And it was like their whole conference. But, they made time to announce, big one is Fire Emblem, the Three Houses, is coming to console. The first console Fire Emblem in a long time. Nintendo Switch exclusive. It's got some cool concepts at work that we saw in the gameplay trailer. The battles aren't going to be, you know, that far away view, that top down of just characters on a grid. It looks more like kind of like a Total War game, a bit more behind the characters. And instead of just having man on man, you know, story character versus bad guy, we have each story character on the battlefield commands a squadron of units, like a group of pikemen, for example, and just, you know, makes everything look more like a legitimate battlefield. Which I'm a fan of. But from what they showed, it is it looked pretty janky so far. The models of the units themselves are super low detail, and I wasn't expecting them to be like high quality, unique, you know, character models. But they look pretty disappointing. They're like copy paste versions of each other, and they all animate it at the same time, and it just looks really it looks cheap. And when the forces clash, they just kind of run through each other. Not sure what to think so far. The story character designs are cool as always, and that's a big part of Fire Emblem these days, is how cool the characters look. It's cool to see Fire Emblem again coming to console. We also had Xenoblade 2 get an announced DLC expansion coming this September, and they also released an update, I think it's already out, where you can bring in Shulk and Fiora from the original Xenoblade Chronicles as assists for your team. I think you can summon them as blades, I think. That's a game that's already has hundreds of hours of content, and they're continuing to support and add to it. So that's awesome for Switch JRPG players and people who, you know, might have been thinking about trading the game in. Don't do that. I've got an entire expansion coming September. Then, of course, we have Octopath Traveler coming July 13th. This is it's one of the most hyped JRPGs coming out this year, just because it looks gorgeous. It's got that old school touch. And they surprised us with a second demo that's out right now, and it actually allows you to play the first few hours of the game. You can play any of the 8 characters and actually just start the game as it is. It's something I'm going to skip because I don't want to put 3 hours into a game and then drop it for a month. I don't think I'll appreciate the experience as much that way, but it's got high expectations. From the footage, the only thing I'm worried about is the dialogue in towns and with characters seems a bit, a bit superficial. And I've heard from player impressions so far that the overlap between the stories doesn't really occur as much as they'd like. It's almost like each character story is siloed off for longer than people like. And so you have to wonder if that's, you know, how good is the pacing? Is it going to... I mean, the battles will be too slow because your party's not going to grow for a while. So things to look for, and Yeah, I'm sure to reserve a spot next month for us to play Octopath. So look forward to that. And then we just got, you know, reminded that The World Ends With You Final Remix is coming to Switch. And that was pretty much it for Nintendo's conference. There were some other announcements. I know Yakuza Zero and Kiwami is coming to PC this summer. And we are getting Disgaea 1 Complete in October. That's a complete remake of the original Disgaea game, the tactical RPG series. And Code Vein is getting a release in late September. So that has an official release date. I think it's the 28th of September. And of course, Dragon Quest XI. It's got box art. It's got a special edition you can order, and it's coming, man. PS4, PC, Xbox, I think, and I think a Switch version maybe at a later date, but that's going to be, oh boy, that looks awesome. I cannot wait to play a big Dragon Quest console game. It'll be my first big Dragon Quest console release ever, and I'm excited for that. But yeah, this is the Icicle Disaster JRPG podcast, and we're going to keep doing what the show was doing before in most aspects. I have a roster of games you can look at on the front page of icicledisaster.com, and you can track how far along I'm into each, like how many hours I've pumped into each one. And you can try to keep up and play along and stay tuned for playthrough episodes dedicated specifically to each game. So instead of doing like one big episode with multiple discussions of multiple games that you kind of have to like jump around, it is going to be episodes dedicated to each game. Probably like every 10 or so hours I pump into a game, I'll make an episode and talk about the playthrough so far. For this month, for June, I have a couple games on there just to finish out the month. First game is Tokyo Xanadu EX Plus. This was a refresh of the game that came out a couple years ago on the Vita. It is an action RPG dungeon crawler by night and a slice of life high school simulator by day. So it's kind of got that Persona vibe going on, and that is, you can play it on PS4 or PC, or you know, play the original on the Vita. And then the other game I chose was Valkyrie Profile Covenant of the Plume on the Nintendo DS. If you don't have the Nintendo DS, it's a very easy platform to emulate on the PC. Not intimidating at all. I'll put something in the show notes if you guys don't know how to set that up for yourself. But it's really cool to see, you know, both of the DS screens emulated on your computer. It works wonderfully. And Covenant of the Plume, you don't have to have played the first or second Valkyrie Profile. It stands on its own. Of course, there will be references. But yeah, this is actually, it's a grid-based tactical game. That's a genre I love. And I also love Valkyrie Profile games because they're very morbid and mature in their storytelling. And I love when Japanese developers take on Norse mythology. It's just really cool to me. Yeah, I guess it's going to be a grid-based tactical game. But once you engage enemies on the field, you'll see something reminiscent of a Valkyrie Profile battle system where characters are mapped to buttons on your controller and you kind of coordinate a combo with your characters and try to, you know, launch enemies and whatnot. And so, yeah, those are the two games. Just something to tide us over because in July, the roster is ripe for the taking. You can go to icicledisaster.com and click on an open slot and recommend what you want to see played. And hey, no one's listening to this show right now. So if you recommend something, it will get picked. And I am reserving a slot, like I said, for Octopath Traveler. So we're ready to go on for that game. It's July 13th it comes out. But otherwise, you know, have at it, recommend some games. It's going to be a bit of a slow summer JRPG release-wise, so plenty of opportunity to play some older retro titles. So let's fill out July before it comes upon us, and thank you guys for listening to the podcast today, and I'm glad to get it back on its feet. Again, I'm your host, Zach Brixen, and I'll talk to you again soon, probably with a playthrough update of one of our two games this month.